Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Father, bless your word this morning. Cause us to see your light. Let your word come forth like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. In Jesus' name. Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 14 and 15. And thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats. Verse 15. And thou shalt anoint them. You see the word anoint, very critical. And thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be what? An everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. I don't even want to go into that word everlasting, because I will begin to differentiate everlasting from eternal. I will begin to look at the word everlasting. That means something that is meant to last forever, from eternal being a God quality. Those who believe in him shall have eternal life. It's not everlasting life, eternal life. Everlasting, all spirits will live forever, whether good or evil. Hello? Whether in hell or heaven. Every spirit will live forever, everlasting. But you see, eternal is a God quality. So this priesthood doesn't mean that they will remain eternally. Because even now, some people still practice this priesthood. I was watching a video online and they were asking a lot of Jews. I also saw that video online on what they felt about Jesus Christ. I said, we don't know, man. I mean, some guy who was here, he was a carpenter, says he's your savior. You know, I don't know. I don't believe. I just think he's a regular guy. Jews. Hey, he was born Jewish. He was born Jewish. People say he's Messiah. How is that going to happen? This on the street of Israel. The guys don't even, and here you are trying to kill yourself that your family doesn't accept you. These guys, the entire nation rejected him. I will fight for my right. I will take what is mine. Oh God, slow down. Look at Jesus. The proof of your calling is not that your family members attend your church. So I said to a pastor, send your mother and your father away. Send your brothers and sisters. Send them. Let them go to another church. He refused. You know what happened to that church? It closed down. Say this priesthood that they are receiving is what? An everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Now, let me explain something. God does not make provision for any generation to be without an existing or functional priesthood. Now, when you look at scriptures like, for he has made us to be what? Kings and priests with him, and we shall reign on the earth. That means that in the real sense of the word, if I am operating in the kingly anointing, or anointing, because it's an anointing for kings, and I'm not operating in the priestly anointing, what happens is that I am in touch with earth, but I'm not in touch with heaven. So I can be ruling like Saul, yet disconnected from the power source. And now the function of priest is not something that is given to everybody. In the Old Testament, you have to be chosen. You have to be chosen. It's a lineage of priests. There's a lineage of priests. Now, God did not at any point come and say, oh, I want the Levites to be priests. They pressed into it by a decision. When the people of Israel went longing after other gods, these guys cautioned themselves and restrained. And in case you think it was quite easy for them to restrain, I want you to know that there's something that is called crowd effect. If you stop drinking, and then you are going to end of year party, and then they are sharing, wine and all of that, 15%, 25%, Can I just a sip? I was supposed to be at the national day for German nation on Wednesday. I got to the front of the embassy. I just like, was rubbish. I beg. I drove home. They couldn't get me a parking space. And I look at my time. This is 8:30. We are going to be here till 11. And I'm still coming to work tomorrow. I didn't come to Lagos to do buffet. They gave me, they said, you actually have a reserved parking space. I said, hey, feel good. Show me. Say, sir, we are so sorry for the... please, could you go... Okay, I don't look at the time. Unfortunately, I just felt I should have waited because I went to... I got on third mainland. All the time I was using to be drinking wine, I just said, okay, pack where. Don't jam you. Just trying to find my way home. I got home feeling wasted and tired. No wine, no nothing. Broken and weightless. It's crazy. When Cameroon invited me for their... I don't know what's wrong with all these countries. I just don't show up. And what are we doing? My person that even was able to go in, say we just, you know, just buffet, just connecting and sipping wine. So am I supposed to go there and ask them, sorry, what's the percentage of this one? Do you have malt? There's no malt, brother. If you don't drink, get out. It's Germany. German, we drink. We drink. Huh? Water, lager, we drink. Don't come here holding your Bible, we drink. Please, go. And one of their what do you call them? Attaché. Those guys carry gun. Oh, no. You must be. No, you don't. I'm fine. Hey, don't worry, I'm fine. Came to my office. Hope you enjoyed it. How did you say that? I said, sure, I did. I don't even want to go into this whole why I didn't come. I did just, perfect. When's the next one? The priesthood you subscribe to, you can't change the tenets and operation of that priesthood. It's what they offer you in the buffet that you will take. You can't come there and say, where's Pandedam? Are you crazy? This is Germany. When you are within the perimeters, do you know all the major embassies are there? Do you see the security retinue on that? It's like a roadblock. If you are in Jos, you just see roadblock. If you are running away from here, that's not the route to take. Somebody is going to stop you. Parking space on Water Current is 1,000 naira. In front of my office is 200 naira. Just behind. What happened? The value of the place is determined by the presence of the people there. The priesthood that rules a particular area will determine the kind of sacrifice you can present there. The gate men, they are not taking 200, oh. They are not taking a beg, oh. Please, oh, assist us, oh. You know, at that place, they go, 1,000. To park my car. Where I am a citizen. My own car. I didn't borrow it. Money for fuel, for a few days. But even the security men, the ones who didn't have any influence in that kingdom, upped their game. Any priesthood you subscribe to, you cannot determine the tenets of that priesthood. It will be given to you. This is what we do here. The Levitical priesthood didn't come on the strength of the fact that God chose. Actually speaking, God never wanted a Levitical priesthood. He wanted Melchizedek. The guy that God used to deliver the mandate for the Levitical priesthood didn't even follow the Levitical priesthood. Moses. You didn't notice? The priest could only come before God how many times? Once per year. How many times was Moses going? If he just wakes up, Mambrakatai, I see your glory. Here we go. He's going. The priest, high priest, not just priest, oh, high priest, will need to do some washings and stuff before he can go in. Moses, the way he wakes up, is going. So, what was this old law? Who was it for? Do you know who the high priest is? In the order of the Levitical structure, do you know who the high priest is? Where the high priest is fully dressed, a king cannot stand in front of you. Because in that season, that moment, he's seeing only God. A king cannot stand in front of him. That's who the high priest is. Not a small boy, you. Don't go to Israel and be saying, who is the high priest here? You'll be shot. You'll be arrested without trial. Jailed. See, it's in Nigeria, that's why he's talking anyhow. The Levite family or the tribe took a decision to stand for righteousness. And when Moses came, because they overcame the pressure of crowd effect, they overcame that pressure. It's not easy. Because sometimes you go there, you're like, oh, just say 25%. Oh. And some of you know those friends that you have. They bring out the worst in you. Who knows what I'm talking about? You just, I beg. Ask for forgiveness later. We'll do this one. It's not even a matter of God again. You know what I'm saying? Those your friends, when you are there, you just feel vain. Just become vain. I know I have been there, even as a Christian. So you can't even lie to me. I've been there as a pastor. You can't even, you are with them, you are not even, like, just 25%. And I don't even plan to get drunk. It's just a hug. Just, Levi didn't know God was watching. It's just like Phineas. He took a spear and executed the justice of God. And God said, you, I give you an everlasting covenant. Is that easy with God? Take a stand. You will see me. That's how God is. Take a stand. When everybody is failing, I will show up. I will honor you. I will give the honor men cannot give. That's the way God rules. So, Levi's tribe took a decision for righteousness. And then when Moses came, he made a proclamation. Who is on the Lord's side, let him come to me. And they came and stood behind him. And then God said, from today. And it was this also an offshoot of that blessing. You will receive the grace to stand before me. God had to do a makeshift arrangement to allow people get blessed and rewarded for taking a definite stance. Now, what is the structure of the Levitical priesthood? This is a priesthood that rests solely on laws. Even if you don't feel the anointing, you don't feel nothing about God, but if you understand the rules, you can stay here. The rules took away people like Rahab's family. There was no provision for them. There were certain people like Canaan that God didn't want to hear. He didn't want to hear their name. This was not initially, but you know, this started during Moses' time. There was nothing like Levitical priesthood before Moses. But God was relating to his children. And yet, God's character never changed. And you never asked why. Why would an high priest come before God and then they will bring him out dead? And why is that you, after all you did yesterday, you can still come to God? And God is just smiling at you. It's Christ he's seeing in you. And that's what I was teaching this morning in the School of Spirit. It's Christ. That's your insurance. There is nobody that will make it on that day before God and say, ah, Baba, I leave all you. Oh, boy. I try. I stay away from sin. I read your word. I follow. When you see him, you will know that is by your grace, oh God. It's by your grace, oh God. It's by your grace that I am free. It's by your grace that when you see him on that day, you will know that you even made it. It was by his grace. Nobody will go there in the flesh and say, Baba, I stick to your word. Which word? King James or NIV? For the anointing shall be an everlasting priesthood. These guys received a mandate to represent man. It came with a lot of laws. Thou shalt not eat certain things. You cannot eat pork. All these things are symbols of uncleanliness. Most of the things and the realities that God wanted us to embrace spiritually, God began to put them in types and shadows. Types and shadows. You know what I mean by types and shadows? He used an example. So when he says don't eat pork, it wasn't really the issue of pork. It was what pork represented. He wanted you to get. So don't eat it, right? It becomes a memory, something you can easily remember. He said it is not for kings or lemwe to take strong drink. So if you are going to be a king in the Levitical order, you cannot wake up and say you feel like taking lager. You cannot wish, you cannot feel it. You must not feel it. You must not want it. So even from when you are born, they begin to train you in a particular way. Some of you come from areas in Nigeria where it is Ogogoro they use in your naming ceremony. They use it to lace your mouth. You now wonder why now, you know, with due respect to all the cultures in Nigeria, amen. It's not your fault. They did it to you. I'm just saying that if you are going to be a king, they cannot lace your tongue with Ogogoro. Some of you, they threw you inside water. You now came out. They now say, it's our son. That's why you are battling with water spirits. So I didn't say nothing. So what if for some reason the baby doesn't come back? Or while you threw the baby, one fish caught the baby from under and took him down. Say, come and confess. What have you been doing? The Levitical priesthood was meant to stand in for a time, just like Saul was meant to stand in for a time before David showed up. God puts everything in types and shadows. That's why many times when God speaks to you even now, you will see that your dreams are in symbols, parables. You need to really think about it to understand what God is saying to you. Because God uses symbols to protect his image and his message. So anybody can come to me and say, this is not God. You say no. Because you may not get the interpretation right. It doesn't mean the message is wrong. God puts the message. For instance, God says, you get a scapegoat. You pray over it. The priest will pray over it and release it into the forest. And it's symbolic of redemption. So these are types and shadows. You see so many, more than 1,000 laws. God told them the kind of things they could not eat or drink. And up to now, they still follow it. And the Israelites are one of the healthiest people alive. Healthiest, as in both mind and body. In Japan, they smoke like chimney. When they smoke, you see smoke everywhere. The glory of God. It's just. But they hardly die of heart disease because they take green tea. They found a way around it. For those of you who go and buy green tea, make sure you're getting the correct one. Because that thing can actually, because once you drink, take green tea, it nullifies the effect of the nicotine. So who is the pastor to say you should not smoke? After all, you are not going to die of. The issue of cigarette, the issue of alcohol, there are issues of concentration. It's not that you cannot, is it not your body? Smoke it to death now. Smoke. If anybody tell you don't smoke, slap the person. Say, why are you showing me in the Bible? Slap the person. It's a matter of concentration. It's not only cigarette you will leave. It's not only alcohol you leave when you come to God. You can even leave your TV. Who is talking about cigarette? Those are the normal ones. They are talking about the other things. Other things that everybody has access to. You are still looking for whether it is good to drink. Brother, we have passed that level. Whether it's good to tie it or not. Okay? It's old news. I was reading an article of Daddy Freeze where he said that since he started preaching this, I don't know who saw that in online, that he has become broke. I said, only what him wear. If you don't know what that means, I said, like, our head has caught you. He said he has had one major business deal in 2 years. I said, you have just started. By the time we are through with you, you will be tithing. People make an issue out of nothing. You work for your salary, the government takes away their tax. They don't even wait for you to return it, they remove it first. Because they know you are not a sincere person. You will spend the money. So they remove it before you even get the alert. You buy stuff at the supermarket, they remove their VAT. Because they know they can't trust you. God is the only one who gave you the money and said, I give you my own back. He's the only one. He can afford you not to pay. I'm talking about Levitical priesthood. You don't pay, you die. Levitical priesthood. You don't pay. Don't show up in church next year. Because you're going to die. They will start the service with your corpse. Levitical, this one. You can't try it. The law is the law. The law is the law. Don't play. No, we are not playing here. Very strong, powerful operation where everybody understands the rules. That even the high priest, if he doesn't come properly, he will die. What was God trying to say in summary? It is my grace and mercy that covers you. You can't just walk, you just come in here and then they drag you out. And then he said to us that the New Testament interpretation that when you come before me, come with praise, into my courts to praise and into my presence to sing. That is the interpretation of the garment of the priest. I said to you that in the Old Testament there were types and shadows, but you need to understand the New Testament interpretation, just like you said, the lifting of our hands is as the evening sacrifice. When you understand these things, you can actually begin to live out the New Testament, the Old Testament in the new ordained format. Right now, it's actually safe for any church to operate by the Old Testament because it puts everybody under control. No, but everybody is not anointed. Everybody cannot be anointed. You can't wake up and wish to be a priest. If you are not from the tribe of Levi, forget it. It's not a wish to be called. You can't wish to be called. Have you ever seen somebody got called that will say, yes, I knew this would happen. I was waiting. The only way we can call you like that is just go to theology school. And when you graduate, we'll ordain you reverend and give you color. Are you still here? I'm saying to you that God made this such a closed user group. Closed group. WhatsApp or Facebook group. If we don't invite you, you can't come. And that's the way the Levitical priesthood works. It works with a lot of bloodshed, animal sacrifice. I used to wonder that all those animals they kill. After God has forgiven them, what happened to all the meat? Eh? We do asun, spice it, suya, and the priest, since we don't have inheritance, we must well enjoy this one day. They will share the meat. You know the way you do, they pay for your bride price. They will now share the thing across everybody in the family. I'm still thinking about it. Maybe I will take bride price when my daughter is getting married. I'm still thinking. I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure. It's not a biblical demand. How much are you going to pay me? Should I bring the receipt of all this money I pay for school fees? The ones I can't even find inside the receipt. Mr. Lenos will categorize, will send you a standard budget. I'm doing an proper Igbo wedding. And God help you that you don't have money. Don't you marry my daughter? What do you mean? Who are you? Who is your father in this land? This is pure Levitical priesthood I'm talking about here. I'm not joking. This is my daughter. After now, once you pay, you are the owner of the girl. Anywhere, take her. But pay me first. My house in the village, you want to complete it. I need a chieftaincy title. So I'm still thinking. And in case the person is my future son-in-law is here in the womb of one of you, or somewhere listening to me, we will talk when we get there. Because your dad may be here, so we can have some discussion. But if you are not here, forget it. My chieftaincy title, my house in the village, and the one at Moway, and the latest Jeep. I will talk. You just make sure you are around. Stay long enough. So you get my bill. That's why most ladies, when they get married, they can't talk in the husband's house. Because the husband actually cried to pay for the bride price. You are the one who say you are in love. Nobody sent you. You saw Yoruba girl, you didn't marry. You saw Fulani. It's you that said this Ohafia girl. Joshua looked at me the other day, said, your wife. Like, it was saying, you know, like, you are mommy's best friend, right? Say, so then, my mommy is your wife. Then, you are mommy's, I said, husband. Said, okay. So, your wife is my mother and your best friend. I said, yes. Then, he wanted to interpret it from my side. He became confused. I said, okay. I don't know what brought up this discussion this morning. But I think you should take your time to grow up first before you start messing around with all this kind of stuff. Before you start asking me, Daddy, will I get married when I'm your age? I say, let me see your result first. What's your position in school last time? The Levitical priesthood takes away relationship from you. If you follow the rules, get it right, you are fine. But Levitical priesthood is very dangerous because it only gives one man access. If the man hears wrongly, then we are all in trouble. If the man hears wrongly, we are all in trouble. So as I'm going into the innermost court, you are not sleeping, no? You are praying. As he's going, let him come back because I'm the... After me, you are the second son of the house. You don't want wahala. You are praying, God, let him come back in peace. You don't want to bury your brother, the stigma on your family. Then let him come back with good news. God said, this year, all your harvest will be wonderful. Amen. This year, you will prosper. Amen. This year, as you pay your tithe, you get hundredfold. Amen. All those things we do when we go to Amadio Shrine to do sacrifice and come back with prayers and blessings. Amadioa is a first class Levitical priest. Ogun, Oya. There's one that I like, Ayelala. If you don't know, you go and research that one. Ayelala doesn't tell you whether you are the one that stole or not. Just drink this water. Drink this water. Not tomorrow, right now. If you go to all those Ilaje area, all those Ivara area, they believe Ayelala more than Bible. Are you the one that slept with your friend's wife? It's not me, no problem. You and call, it's not me. Okay, where's the water? Last man standing. Right there, the Levitical priesthood will start speaking. The oracle will be speaking. You will be manifesting. You will die. That Ayelala is a first class Levitical priest. But the writer of Hebrews made a point, and I want to show you that point. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 11. If therefore perfection was by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received what? The law. I said to you that the Levitical priesthood, what they traded, their forex currency was the law. What they traded was the law. What further need was there? We knew what God wanted. We knew the standards of righteousness. We didn't need any other thing. And yet God is saying, if this thing is perfect. You see, when God begins to put if in front of your matter, somebody is about to get fired. Because when God said to the prophets who stood against Moses, he said, if there is a prophet among you, that's another way of saying you are all fired. So now, God said, if this law was perfect, there was, what further need was there that another priest should rise? After the order of Melchizedek, and not to be called after the order of Aaron. Aaron was the first high priest. And one of the things you look at in scriptures to understand scripture properly is what you call the law of first mention. Who was the first person this thing happened to? When was the first time this terminology was used? So the Levitical priesthood was actually the order of Aaron. And Aaron was a man that was called because of another man's deficiency. God called Moses and said, go to the people of Israel and bring them out from Egypt. And Moses said, I cannot speak. Then God said, I will give you a prophet. So it's a type of prophetic order. Your mouthpiece will be who? Will be Aaron. So the Aaron himself didn't have a calling. His calling was to receive the vibrations coming from the stammerer and give clear words to it. So you may see a preacher that can speak well or have strong utterance, yet it's only picking the frequency of something in somebody else's spirit. And then you celebrate that, not knowing that if for any reason Aaron separates from Moses, he will not have utterance again. And in case you are called as an Aaron, please find your Moses and stay close. You may have a ministry that is designed to be close to somebody else, like a David Abioye to a Bishop Oyedepo. Do you know how many people made Bishop Abioye offers to leave winners? Bishop Abioye, like I learned, was number 47 on the list. Today is number 2. Or even number 1. They share the same glory. The weight of what Winners Chapel is today could not be as strong as it is without an Abioye. Just take it or take it. So know your place. That's one of the things the Levitical priesthood will teach you. Know your place. To help you, help everybody. But God found a fault with this thing. He said this thing, even though it's good, but it's not perfect. Is there anything in the next verse? Let me see if there's anything in verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity for a change of the law. So that means that the law that serves as our guiding principle, it's not the law of Aaron, the law of Moses. Because once the law changes, the priesthood changes. The moment God changed the law, and what was the law God changed? God changed from the work, from the law to grace. For there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life was what God changed to. The law of the Spirit of life was what God changed to when he walked away from the law of Moses. So the law of the Spirit of life, what it does is it takes all those types and shadows and brings clear words and interpretation to it. Are you with me? So when I read the Old Testament, what I am looking for is not what is in the Old Testament, it is what it means. So I won't go and get a ram, spotless ram. And then if you bring the ram to church and say, Pastor, pray and release my sins, I will tell you, kneel down now. Then I'll pray for you. And call it go to me. Oh, but meat don't come. Oh. I will not even bother to waste my time pouring oil, anointing oil on that thing. I'll just tell you, let's tie it at the back first. So yeah, kneel down. I will pour my bottle of oil is 500 naira. I will waste it on you. Don't worry, go. Your sins are forgiven. You go. Alpha. Chop, don't come. Oh. We'll call one mala there. Do asun for us. Pepe inside. You know those very nicely done suya. Asun. We just sit down and be drinking guy. I'm talking about the future. Sincerely speaking, if you ever fall into the temptation, don't bring the ram to me. I'm not those pastors that will tell you don't bring. I will collect and eat. But your sins still abide with you. Because why? God is no more in the business of... He wants to preserve the life of innocent rams that have gone to glory because of people like you. So, he decided to change the priesthood. If God changed the law, but didn't change the priesthood, it will not change anything. Because what the priest does is to effect the law. So for God to change the law, he must bring a priesthood that is trained in another way. Every priest that was trained in the Old Testament, they were trained in the school of priests to be able to administer the law. So if there was, even if you called me to come and serve as your new priest, I can only teach you what I know. You understand? I can only teach you what I know. So God realized that because of the covenant he had with Levi, there was no way on earth that somebody will come out of Levi and will not repeat the same thing. So he went to another tribe to look for a priest. But before I touch that, I want to touch about the second type of priest. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. So the first type of priesthood is the Levitical priesthood. The second type of priesthood is the priesthood of Jethro. Look at this. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. You know anything about the Midianites? They were the ones who were trying to deal with Israel in the days of Gideon. Can you help me research who the father of Midian is? If you can, quickly. I was trying to get that before coming up. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now, this man, I think he had 7 daughters or so. One of whom Moses married. So Moses was also married into a priesthood. Are you hearing me? Moses was married into a priesthood, which this man was the ogre at the top. Many times, and hear me, God will allow makeshift arrangements for the sake of a remnant in a place because grace has not been revealed. So you will see someone like Balaam. Do you know Balaam was not an Israelite? He was not Israeli. He was a Gentile. Yet he had an authentic prophetic ministry. God will allow snapshots of reality to come into place as a signal of hope that a time is coming when the barriers will be removed and anyone anywhere over the face of the globe will be able to come to God. But before that time, God will allow little things here, and he will allow a Balaam, he will allow a Cyprus. Cyprus worked for God, he wasn't Israeli. God will allow some small people like Cornelius, who didn't know God, but they will just stand differently. And that was what happened to this man. Now, the ministry of Jethro is like a covering priesthood. A priesthood that covers a person in a moment of crisis. You will realize that, you will remember that this guy was the one who came to the aid of Moses when he fled and provided a covering for him. And God even said the base of that guy's priesthood was the mountain of God. You see this? This was where the guy lived around, dwelt around, and it was the mountain of God. When God appeared again to Moses, it was same around this jurisdiction. Which means that for some reason, God gave some level of validity to what this guy was doing. Even though it was not the ideal. Why do I need to bring this to your attention? Because many times you may be celebrating little successes. You may even be going to, for instance, a church that is a Jethro ministry, has some level of validation, but it's not what God is saying. It is wisdom on your part to be able to see the progressions of God in your life and to understand that this is just a phase. This is just a phase. That even though this guy can provide a covering for you, yet he cannot deliver into your hands the full detail of the mandate of heaven for you. Are you with me? Are you with me? So you see Jethro's at the backside of the desert. There are people and experiences you have when you are going through phases in your life where there's no one. Where you can't find anybody. God will allow you to come into contact with those kind of priests. They are like midwives. They will guide you. They will help you navigate your way when you can't hear God. You will see Jethros there. You will see Jethros. They come in, they don't know everything about your prophecy, but they can sense there's actually something different about you. And they are willing to take a risk. They are even willing to give you their daughter as a sign that they believe in you. Nothing can be more believing. If I don't care who you are, I don't care who your father is, but if I don't believe in you, you are not marrying my daughter. It's as simple as ABC. I don't care if you say you hate God. I don't care. Yes, I said it. I don't care. God speaks to me too. And every time I go to my father-in-law's house, and he just looks at me. He says, Benga, I'm so proud of you. I say, thank you, sir. He says, I'm so proud of you. I like what I'm seeing. So, and I don't call the man every time. Amen. But you can't remove my apostleship. I got it already. You know, you're going to your in-laws' house sometimes, you're just like, how many minutes are we spending here? I don't have to worry. I just walk in. I feel like I'm at home, actually. I'm not giving the man any money. It's my posture. It's my posture. When my sister-in-law, Sister Dami, when she saw him for the first time, I sat in her parlor, I was just talking. She looked, she said, this guy is too good to be real. It's impossible. This guy is lying. I said, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know, I heard even she was saying she was going to kill him. This guy is too good. Go and ask my wife. She tell you, I'm a terrible person. But to everybody outside, I'm the best. The best person in the world. I don't get angry. I'm so patient. I can't even remember the last time I lost my temper. The way I sleep is the way I wake up. I sleep well, holy. I'm just at peace with the world. I don't have issues with the devil. I don't have issues with nobody. You know, my father-in-law loves me. Peradventure, I'm also at the backside of the desert. And what I'm benefiting from is a Jethro ministry. When you are going through seasons where nobody can reach you, there may be a Jethro at that backside. You have to watch out for them. They may not come in the package, you understand, but God will send them all the same. The mandate upon your life may even be heavier than whatever it is they are seeing. But right now, they are the ones hearing God. So allow them to speak into your life. Don't say because, oh, no, I'm the prince of Egypt. I know where I'm coming from. Oga, this is desert too. We have learned how to survive here. You just came. There's no certificate here. If we don't tell you how to navigate, you will not come out. You will not come out. Have you ever seen those films where you see all these tourist guys around, all these Egyptian films, where they're walking through sand and all you see is sand. And you are like, when are we going to get out of here? The guard is just smiling, just cruising. Because he knows the way. You are the one who has headache about whether you will come out alive. I was listening to T. Jakes and he said something. I don't know if you watched that video. He went to South Africa with his son. They said they were on this safari. They wanted to see lions and all these kind of things. And then the son said, "Daddy, we're going to see the lions. We're going to see." This boy needs to see something, though. So at least when he goes back to the U.S., he can say, we went to the park. We saw this. We saw that. He said there was a guy who doesn't speak English. The guy just stayed in one spot. He never said a word. Until when they got to the point, the guy just said, "The lion is over there." These Jethro guys, you must be sensitive in your spirit to identify them. They may not come in the package you've always known men of God to be. They may not. The person might even be like a friend you've always known, but all of a sudden the person is receiving a grace to minister to you in a very dark season that you may not even be able to do anything about. Because you are not even hearing God at that time. Jethro, they are very important people. Do you know it was also Jethro that God used to help Moses? When Moses was going to die of work, pastor wants to collect offering. He wants to count. He wants to welcome first timer. He wants to convince them to be church member. He wants to go and visit them. Then you say, "Oh, God, come." In our days in the desert, there's a way you do these things. I know God is using you, but the way I'm looking at you, you are going to die very soon. And it wasn't the devil that killed you. Do you know what they call the allegation? I say, no. But I know the grace upon my life. I say, okay, wait. This thing you are doing, can somebody else take offering? Can somebody check on first timers? Can somebody say, maybe. Say, it's not maybe, it's possible. It was after Jethro spoke that God now said, give me 70 men. To further validate Jethro, God didn't speak until Jethro spoke. And after Jethro spoke, God now said, hey, like we are saying. That means when Jethro was talking, it was actually God talking to Moses, because you are waiting for an audible voice. I know the way I normally hear God. Okay, in Jethro means it's Jethro you will hear. It's Jethro you will hear. And if you are one that feels God only talks to you, God cannot send any man to you. It is together we have the mind of Christ. There are certain things God won't tell me, will tell you. If I'm not humble enough, I will miss it. I know you hear God, but can I be honest with you? I don't hear God every time. Sometimes I hear God more on this altar. Because when I'm here, I'm in a totally different zone. I can hear God anyhow. But sometimes I'm looking for my car key. I'm using word of knowledge. I'm not hearing nothing. It's not here. Mambra katabaya. Father, where is the key? Leka bala bala bala. When I became frustrated, I stopped using my gift to look for khaki. I'll just be checking. I don't want to be disappointed. Joshua, where did you keep the key? Say, I didn't have a look. One day we were looking for my iPad. We looked for it. I prayed, I binded. I just told my wife. I said there will be a problem in this house. That iPad is 250,000 and it's a gift. It cannot be missing. When she saw my eyes, and in my heart, I promised God. I said, if I see this iPad, I will read Bible through it. Because I'm sorry, I now remember so many things I didn't do with that iPad. Like, I have like 4 versions. I didn't... This is not good, though. Maybe it's even God. I have a video game, soccer, some other games. So I do that more. With that iPad. Like, this could be God's judgment, though. Like, So I was saying it. I didn't even know my wife had, like, God, if I can see this thing, I'll read the Bible. All of a sudden, I just felt in my heart to check inside the chair. I had to turn the chair upside and cut it open. Behold, the iPad was inside. Do you know the first thing I did? I just launched my FIFA World game. It's been a while, brother. My wife said, You just said, if you saw this thing, you read Bible. I said, people forget promises. People forget promises. So if you are like me, don't worry, we are together. We can beg God together. I know your condition. Even me, I promise God. After I found it, I went to play video game. There are things and there are people God will bring into your space to help your spiritual climate and condition, so that you don't suffer burnout. Those people are the Jethros. Hallelujah. So watch out for them. It could be one person, it could be two people. They will stand like priests on your behalf to intercede for you. When you notice God is giving someone grace, you are not asking for it, but God is giving them grace to stand for you and to stand with you. Please allow them. Sometimes they may even tell you, I just feel led to be praying for you. Like, please, bro, do you want my prayer point? Or do you want to be praying as you are led? Engage them. Because whatever you do, engage, will not deliver. If someone says, I feel led in my heart to be praying for you, don't say, thank you. My brother, when we pray for people, don't say thank you, say amen. You understand? Thank you is not amen. They both mean different things in English language. Say thank you. God bless you. Say thank you very much. And I've seen people do that, you know. You tell them, God bless you. Say, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Okay, I'm not wishing you well. I'm praying for you. Because it's the peace technology denotes that not only can I release my peace, I can call you back. Watch out for your Jethros. There are people God will bring into your space as like coverings for you for a short time. Please value them. Because how you mind that relationship may even determine whether you even get your mantleship and go back to Egypt to do your assignment. Their influence, but did you notice that their influence may be very short, but very weighty. But did you notice that by the time Moses made his transition, even Jethro followed him? Because Jethro saw something that was weightier than whatever it is he had. He followed him and submitted to him. So it's not about who got the anointing first. It's not about who got the anointing first. That's what I'm saying to you. So we have the Levitical priesthood that is built on laws. You break the law, they break you. Blood must be shed, made of types and shadows. And the strength of the Levitical order is that you are able to interpret the types and shadows into New Testament realities. If you can do that, you are home and dry. Finally, Melchizedek. The first introduction of Melchizedek was before the law. And that was not even the only one. Now, how many of you agree that Abraham was a prophet? Actually, God called him a prophet when, in the case of Ahimelech, is it Ahimelech? That king that took his wife. And God said, you shall surely die, for the man you have taken his wife is a prophet. Then I said, wait. I didn't say Abraham prophesy. Did you say Abraham prophesy anywhere? God called Abraham a prophet. Doesn't that bother you? Or maybe God just likes using fine words. To qualify as a prophet, you must operate in revelation gifts, and you must have the gift of prophecy. But you see, the operation of the prophetic ministry of Abraham was not signs and wonders. It was in two or three major areas. Number one, intercession. Number two, the promise. Number three, faith. His major operation was faith. Having the capacity to believe for impossible things. Having the capacity to pray through entire nations. Because what he was praying when he involved a lot was a nation. He was praying for a nation. Do you understand what I'm saying? That when God called him a prophet, God knew what he was saying. He wasn't looking for a way to flabbergast him. His operation was intercession, and his major operation was faith. And that's why you notice that you can't talk about faith without talking about the faith of Abraham, which accounted to him righteousness. So his major operation was faith. Secondly, followed by intercession. Melchizedek was revealed to Abraham after the war, I think with five kings. Melchizedek showed up after the war. He didn't show up during the war. Most times in Israel, when you see God showing up for the Israelites, it was during the war. And he will save them. Melchizedek didn't show up then. He showed up after the war, fully dressed as a priest. But not this type of priest. One day I will come back and I will take the garment of the priest and I will dismember it for you. And show you what they all mean. But the one that interests me most, and I've said that before, about the garment of the priest, are the 12 stones. The 12 stones on the chest plate or the breastplate of the priest. And I said to you that they gave us the names of all those stones in the Bible, and that if you check the stones that were mentioned in Lucifer, Lucifer had 9. Out of those 12. One of the ones he didn't have, Issachar. And Issachar is that prophetic leadership anointing of the Holy Spirit. I think Asa. So I'll come back and I'll explain this thing someday. So what he's fighting for? All those infinity stones is what we are looking for. See, you guys don't watch film. You just lost in the spirit realm. You don't even know what's going on. Go and watch films. Go take your money. Go to Galeria and spend and see what the devil is doing. It's all there in the films. And if you can't read Bible, go and watch film. You still see it. But I've acted it into film for you. Infinity stones of time, power, soul. Same thing, brother. Same thing. Thanos won. Satan wins. Simple. Simple interpretation. Then all the lost avengers will come back again. There will be rapture, there will be restoration. Righteousness will later win. It's just there. Not without some loss of lives anyway. So, get ready. And I predict. I don't use my anointing to predict him, but I will predict that Iron Man will become a deity. He will rise to a full stature of a son, like a god. Go and watch it. You can, and I'll give you my account. You can credit me once you know I'm right. Yes. Don't worry. Guys, you are not even talking about the film of David. You are not watching. See the way people are just laughing. You unspiritual people talking about Game of Thrones. What's that film again? House of Judah? I don't know. Don't marry your wife and then become a spiritual jerk. The way you know how to do is watch David and Solomon. And this. That's why she wants to leave you. Because if you say two things, it's only Bible you know. Stop hiding your inefficiency and incompetence behind the Bible. Go out. Life is for living. When you are ready to be nice, to take your wife out, you will know why you need money. All this thing about, I focus on heaven, I don't really shut up, a poor man. She married you thinking you will change. Your broke self is not even making any adjustment. I'm coming for you. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe who Moses spoke nothing about priesthood. So the power base of Melchizedek is praise. Praise. This one is law. This one is praise. Say Judah, the praise. How did the father put it? He said, you are he that your brethren shall praise. Come into my presence with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise, because that is how you trigger the power of the Melchizedek priesthood. That's why the best time to give in church is either when during worship, when you are blessing God and you feel God is really touching you somewhere very deep within you, is the best time to give an offering. And when you are hearing God's word, it's not offering time. Because that one you give in the moment of worship is coming from deep within you. It's not calculated. And when you are hearing God's word and there's a word that comes straight into your spirit, the response of Abraham was to give. When he saw Melchizedek said, okay, it's giving time, brother. I helped you win that war. Show me the money. Melchizedek didn't ask for money. But when Abraham saw, he knew he was standing in front of deity, in the front of a deity. The Bible said that he gave tithe. What does that suggest? Abraham was always ready. He didn't know he was going to meet Melchizedek. But he had a readiness of mind that anywhere I see God moving, I'm giving. Yes. Anywhere, I'm giving. And look at the proclamation of Melchizedek. Say, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. He connected Abraham's DNA straight into the throne room. Abraham did not need to wash. Abraham did not need to clean up. Abraham did not need a garment. Right there, he was ready because of the operation of faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to what? To please God. Therefore, he that must come to the Lord must believe that what? He is. He is means that he exists and is here right now. And is a rewarder of them who... The word there is diligent. When you come to him, you come knowing he can take 3 hours, but you will wait. Part of your prayer time is not just to be blabbing, it's to be quiet. Lost in thoughts of him. Where you carry his thoughts within your mind and you begin to look at all the things that the scriptures ascribe to him. Many times scripture cannot describe him, but they try to use symbolism. They say when he touched the mountains, they began to quake. You begin to bear this memory in your mind. It's part of the prayer. It's not just embarakatabayandelekaba. Yes, brother, but there's also a quiet time. It is in quietness and confidence that your strength shall be. That's what Isaiah says. That means there's a release of strength in the moment of quietness. The Bible says that when the seventh trumpet was blown, the Bible said there was quietness in heaven. So there are actually moments when there will be nobody, no pin will drop. In only hall, blessing the majestic person of God. That everything is not sound. Some things are embedded in silence. So your prayer time should consist talking time, quiet time, response time. The prayer doesn't end when you say, in Jesus' name we have prayed. It ends when God says, now this is the summary of the matter. That we have a high priest who is touched, who has entered into the heavens for us and can be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. The first thing Melchizedek tries to identify with is your situation. He knows your pain. He knows your failings. He knows you will fail again. And he has made provision ahead. Not to justify your failing, but because you know that there is a provision for it, you might as well just stand. Just stand in righteousness. Melchizedek is the authentic order of heaven's priesthood. Melchizedek rose out of Judah, which is what we know as praise. Melchizedek is the tabernacle without walls. Is a praise, the city of praise without borders. It is the ability, it is the kind of priesthood that helps you connect to God without any help. It is a grace given to every true child of God to find their way when they are lost. I will come back and I will still speak to you concerning Melchizedek. But permit me to tell you that Jesus is the first of this order. And when Jesus came, he didn't need to wash or do anything to come into God's presence. He prepared himself. The Bible talks about spiritual sacrifices. Let me look for that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. There is such a thing as spiritual sacrifices. I will not explain that today, but I will just mention it. There is such a thing as spiritual sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 2. Ye also as lively stones are built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus. What is that saying? If the Levitical order offered daily sacrifices, things we can see and touch, that means our order, what we offer, are not necessarily material things. If you understand what I'm saying and you are tired, you can plug into this and you'll be rejuvenated again. If you understand what I just said. And let me tell you something about this order of priesthood, that there are two things this priesthood we achieve in any man. Number one is to raise him up as a spiritual house. That means that wherever you go, once you submit to this order, God will begin to raise in you a spiritual temple that he can embody. Just like in the Old Testament, God dwelt in temples made with hands, and people could not approach so closely because the closer the proximity, you begin to feel more of God's awesome presence. So they tell you, don't go through beyond this level so that you don't die. That is how God wants to reconfigure our bodies and our spirits to be carriers of his Shekinah glory, so that wherever you are, people don't need to say, come Holy Spirit, come. When they see you, you are a living embodiment of that reality. So you come like, wow, I feel God's presence. Sometimes, and please stop looking for smoke. Stop looking for smoke. Sometimes you are just there and there's just a stillness in the atmosphere. Yeah. Like, wow. Dead silence, stillness. Be still and know that I am God. You just feel like, in spite of all the boo, 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 all the things happening in your life, somebody just comes into your space, and for like that 1 week, everything is calm. That is the presence of God. Stop looking for smoke. Stop looking for smoke. You can get your firewood and get smoke if you want. When the operation of Melchizedek becomes active, the first thing Melchizedek wants to achieve in you, in its own form of priesthood, is to raise you up as a living temple. He said, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost and that God dwells on the inside of you? If God is not achieving that, primarily by you coming first of all into a mindset that you are a God carrier, you are a living epistle upon the earth, you are actually carrying God literally. If Melchizedek doesn't achieve that in you, it doesn't matter. You are still not anywhere. He said, I want to bring you to the place of a spiritual house where you are built. You see, the word built is a deliberate attempt to construct something that the earth has not seen. So externally, they can still see you with your beard gun. Externally, they can still see you with that scar behind your back. Externally, they can still see you with all your failings. People who know your story. Familiar spirits. People who can say where she fell. But they can't say where it's been taken to. That woman said, show me where you have laid him. Show me. I'm not too impressed if you know my failings, but if you don't, I have an idea where God is taking you to. You can as well just shut up right now. The work of the Melchizedek is to first of all raise you into a spiritual powerhouse where God can touch, because spirits need human bodies to touch the earth, and God needs a body, a vessel, a body that was prepared me. That was this old 33 years journey for Jesus was about becoming a vessel God can use to touch the earth for redemption. So it was, if God had to do that for Jesus, then brother, we are late to the party. We need to get up and start walking. Everything I do, everything you do, should be bringing me into alignment, into further alignment, into further alignment, where I am now becoming established in His love, so that I can generate the kind of cement and the block and the water that can be used to raise this edifice. Because God will no more dwell in any temple made by human hands. He will build His own house. And that house is not just your physical body. It's your spirit body. Your spirit body. It is in that sense that you don't necessarily need to prophesy to be a prophet, because the forces of heaven, the forces of the throne of God, will be reconfigured into this new temple. And anywhere you go, have you gone to any Hare Krishna temple before? It's the same one you see in India that you see in Nigeria. Once they erect the temple, they all face a particular direction, and you will see the order in that place. It's the same thing. Because after the temple is raised, they would now begin to bring the spiritual element into it. It may just be block and cement outside, but now you will now see the spiritual element coming together. There are some of these Eastern religions where they have temple prostitutes. And when you have sexual relations with any of these temple prostitutes, it is equivalent to having sex with the God of that temple. Part of their worship involves many times pulling out their hair, which, by the way, they don't know what to do with after that worship, so they bring it to Africa. So please buy a bottle of anointing oil before you use that stuff. Because that was gotten through worship. The shaving of that head was gotten through worship. Somebody's undying commitment to his God. And after they do all that seductive dance, somebody comes in and sleeps with them in the presence of their God, having sex with them, connecting directly to the power of that throne. Say, Mama, I just want to tell you, you know, I'm almost through my postgraduate program in India. I found this girl, she's really good. You're really going to like her. You know, she's like, you know, she's very open-minded. You know, what's her name? Samantha. something. Samantha, whatever they bear in India. Samantha. And they will say, okay, send me a picture. Let's talk. Let's do FaceTime or video, you know, Facebook Live or whatever it is, video call. And this is Samantha looking all prim and proper, except that she has commitments. That she will not wait for you. She has commitment, Samantha. She has commitment. She has some. Yeah, you can say whatever you like. She doesn't mind. You can go to your church and do whatever. But when it has to do with her God, and she has to be dancing and dancing, oh, at that moment she's a lunatic. She's not thinking of you. She's thinking of her God, because she wants this earthly vessel to be possessed with that which is heavenly. Why are the people who form most for God? Christians. Say, I just want to bless you, Father. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. I even give you a wiper if you can take it. Have you seen? Go online and check out some of these things. You will see how people are crazily committed to stuff. And they know they are not ordinary. If you touch them, you have touched the powerhouse of their deity. They know. They know. They know. And God says the only way we are going to make impact on this earth is if we raise spiritual houses. Not block and cement. You don't, it's not coming to church and saying that says you come to church. You bring church with you. So if you are having church Monday to Friday, brother, just show up. We'll help you. You are a living temple. You are a living MP, Sue. You are, your heart is inscribed with the letterings of heaven. The letterings of heaven. You've got that stuff on your inside. Do you know how valuable that thing is? The things that the angels seek to look into. The things that they will require you to explain. That all of that pain and rejection was God building a spiritual temple that broke status 2,550 copper in your account. It's part of God building that account. God giving you a million and then tell you, give it away right now. It's God building that spiritual house so that your dependence will not rest on anything except the power resident in the temple. So I will tell you, take Isaac and give him back to me. God wanted to see his willingness, that's all. Because as far as God was concerned, Isaac was dead. Because later God will come in the days of Jesus, and on the same mountain where Abraham would have killed his son, God sacrificed his own son on that same mountain. Types and patterns, shadows, Levitical priesthood. In the Melchizedek, he actualizes everything. Everything. God knows what he's doing. It may not make sense to you. It's because you have no sense of history. If you have sense of, you will know that some of this happening to you now are prophecy fulfillment. Prophecy fulfillment. That it's not by chance that you are here right now. Prophecy fulfillment. It took researchers to go and check to realize that the same mountain where God asked him to go and sacrifice his son was where Jesus was crucified. The Jews who said that they didn't believe in Jesus, some random guy, they still allow us coming to check the place out because they need to make money. Yeah. You will now understand Paul's prayer. How I pray that by the mercy of God, all of Israel will be saved. Because when a man has touched a certain reality of God and becomes stuck there, his case is even worse than somebody who has never encountered God. All this current Israel has, their history. And see the way they believe in it. There's no move of God there anymore. Melchizedek is to do two things. Number one, to raise up a spiritual house. Number two, a holy priesthood. A mobile priesthood. A liquid priesthood. Can flow easily. If I ever go to India or Afghanistan or Dubai to start a church, I'm going to grow my beard very long and wear a turban, and I'll put it on Facebook so that all you religious bigots can lose your mind. Because this priesthood is liquid. It's not tied to suit. Jesus didn't wear a suit. If anything, he wore a gown. Deal with it, brother. Deal with it. I know you said sisters shouldn't wear trousers, but deal with it. Jesus didn't wear one either. There are so many things we do. We put coloration to the move of God and make it difficult for people to assess. Just tell me you are tempted. I can understand that. Don't tell me it's evil. You understand? Because if you are a lady, you do worse. Let's know what our real prayer point is. Because even as a guy, I go into the office on a Monday, and I get comments even from ladies that sometimes I go into the restroom and I look at the mirror again like, oh boy, you bad. Say, no, I don't like when you take off. Put on your glasses back. I like seeing you with your glasses. Eh? For real? I'll do that right now. That's a lady. I said we want to talk about holiness, but we are talking about the wrong thing. It's not what the lady put on. You understand? Let's just agree we are moved by what we see so that we can fix the problem from the source. You understand? Then beg the sisters, please. The way I'm going, I will die. Cover it up. Let's just beg. Don't make it an issue. Let's beg. Okay? It's a begging problem. And it's not only ladies who are moved by words. Guys, admit it. I don't know why you came to hear this one. But if Jemima, Jemima, starts, you know, talking to you in a way like, you know, why were you there in the north, you know? I'm late, you know, I didn't even know, like, you are this, like, really, really handsome. Like, as in, I'm just glad I said yes, because now it's like I'm just discovering you, like, you say, ah, we tango, in your mind, like, hey, where's the mirror? For real. Because somewhere in your mind, you're thinking, what did I even tell her to make her say yes? But now she's like vibing and telling you stuff. Maybe she now forgot to cook that day. Of a little extra salt. No, it doesn't matter. Too much salt doesn't kill nobody. It's just once in a while. Any altar you do not service, this Melchizedek, you service it with words. You don't know why God is angry at you. He's the only son I have that is dumb. He doesn't talk. When it comes to God's presence, he say, Inu Nifawa, I don't know how to explain that one to you. You have the interpretation. Ifa is inside. As in the way I worship God, it's in my mind. I know it. God say, young man, you cannot come into my presence except with thanksgiving. I don't care who you are. And my cause will praise. You see, the court is where decisions are made. You understand? There's a court of heaven. The court of praise, that praise is talking about is that praise me for who I am. Not for what I've done or didn't do. That's what he said. Praise me for who I am. I am the only personality in this court. Forget about all these guys that came to bring case. It's what I say. That's what he said. So when you come, don't come with your case file. We are going to prove this case. We are going to fight. Talking to Channel Television. You are wasting your time. We prove beyond reasonable doubt. Oh God, there's no reasonable doubt. It's evidence we are looking at. But when you come, I say, I'm rising above the shadows into the presence of God. When you come declaring his person and his deity as the authentic authority in your life, into the presence of Jesus, look, my brother. It's not okay for God to be biased, but he's biased. Take it or leave it. He's biased already. Because these other ones came to prove a point. This one came to say, it's by your grace, oh God. There's nothing to say. I'm as guilty as her. It's by your grace. Do you think Job got everything right? Did you read the book of Job? Did he get everything right? Yet God did not. Oh goodness. If you are not a giver, you cannot operate the power of Melchizedek. God required Job to give forgiveness and prayed for his friends before God released him from his pain. Who needed prayers? Job. God wanted him to be willing to give what even he himself needed. And the Bible says God turned the tide around and blessed him in his latter days more than his beginning. You cannot talk about Melchizedek without talking about giving. Talking about spiritual sacrifices. Let the lifting of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. Giving, not because you are trying to score a political point, but because your giving is your worship. So forget that thing. Abraham blessings are mine. Abraham didn't sing no song, brother. Abraham didn't sing no song. I am blessed in the money, in the noon, in the if those are Pentecostal days. Abraham blessings are mine. Hallelujah. Brother, if you sing that song 10 times, 20 times, and you don't do what Abraham did, he gave his only begotten son. You can sing for Africa. You will die like Lot. You must understand what spiritual sacrifices are. And one of the defining characteristics of spiritual sacrifice is the heart and the motive. I can lift my two hands to heaven and I'm shouting for Asena. Makes no difference. Ah! Maybe they miss the goal. It might just be a screen. Makes no difference. But I can lift my hands to heaven and sing, I will arise, arise, I will delight myself in the Lord, and He will give me all my desires. Say, and He will give me all my desires. When we sing and we worship, we must behold Him. For it to be effective and impactful. We are not singing out of our heads. We are singing out of our hearts. So we must behold Him. We must see His face. That's what makes it looks like we are doing the same thing, but we are getting different results. So when you praise God, you become a lunatic. If your nails will stop you from praising God, leave the nails at home. Come as you are. If it's your suit that makes it difficult, please go and wear Uban Shokoto. Because in the Melchizedek order, we give. We give praise. Are you hearing me? We give praise. That is what the devil doesn't understand. How, in spite of everything happening to you, you still have a song. When you should be having tales of unfaithfulness. How that you see a glorious future in spite of all that is happening around your family. Jesus rose up out of Judah. And you will see it even in his disposition when he prayed. Say, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. He had not prayed. He already thanked God because God has heard. When he rose up from the dead and Mary came, he didn't want to say, no, I need to show up and see him. I need to tell him I'm back and that the sacrifice is accepted. Yeah. Don't touch me. Yeah. By the time he came back, because he actually went to heaven and came back, then he could now say to Thomas, the unbelieving one, touch me. Now those of you who have no faith can touch me. Say, for you will see that it's a ghost, a spirit. Huh? That I am like you. A spirit does not have flesh and bone. But before that time, he said, Mary, don't touch me. Because I need to ascend first to the Father. Which he did, and he came back. Then he now say, you can touch me. The Melchizedek order is strengthened on the precious blood of Jesus. And there have been manifestations of that priestly side of Jesus ever before the law was born. So Melchizedek predates every other priesthood. That is the authentic priesthood of the New Testament. That is the authentic priesthood of heaven. And if you understand a bit about this priesthood, the Bible says now we have a high priest who is can be touched with the feelings of what? Our infirmities. And he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able, but in every situation, he makes what? A way of escape. So when I'm faced with a pressure or with a temptation, what I need to focus on is not the temptation, but where is the door of escape? There's a way of escape. In that moment, the way of escape could be somebody. Somebody's name will just flash your mind and like call this person now. They're like, how does that relate? Yes, that is the way of escape. But if you do nothing, you are going to fall down there. Be sensitive to the spirit. It is only as you have been built into a spiritual house and you have been raised into a priesthood that is holy, that you can understand the things that you can bring to God that are acceptable. So you may even come to church and want to give God 25,000 and you know it's not acceptable. Not because of the amount, not that God needs something higher, but God will texture your heart. And the day you also gave 500 naira, God textured it. Because last week you were hungry and you told yourself you could not kill yourself, cannot come and die. You withdrew the last money in your account, went to Tanks and Tommy in Sakatinubu, and you ate, enjoy yourself and trek home. Follow staff bus. I cannot come and kill myself. But today, you could not even extend that same fellowship to God. Like that widow who brought her all. And it was just a coin. So God weighs these actions. He doesn't need your money. But for some reason, Jesus noticed the woman who gave one coin. And he observed it. So that should tell you something. It's not Old Testament, it's New Testament. Jesus observed it. Before you tell me it's the law, Jesus observed it. It's not just what you give. It's how you give. What is left that God looks at. This priesthood is embedded with supernatural powers. It is the priesthood that is able to change times and seasons. It is the priesthood that declares the blessing. Did you see the blessing that he gave to Abraham? Do you know that when they came and they told Abraham that by this time next year, oh goodness, by this time next year you have your son, do you know that it was Melchizedek in operation? Do you know that David spoke about Melchizedek? Do you know that David ate food that he was not supposed to eat from the coffers of the priest? And that the only reason why he didn't die was because he was operating by higher priesthood? That it is not all this facade and I will make people want to think we are super spiritual. What you know, you know. Don't let anybody deceive you. Focus on this scripture that God can build into a spiritual house he can inhabit. Then let someone come and tell you it's not possible. You will walk straight through it and nothing will happen. Others can do it and they will pay for it. I told the story about two men of God who went to a function and they served them food. And God said to this pastor, don't eat that food. God didn't say anything to this pastor. And the other pastor ate the food and nothing happened to him. And the other guy went back to God. Why did you tell me not to eat this food? And you know I was hungry. And this other man, you didn't restrict him. He said the food was poisoned. If you had eaten it, you would have died. This guy has risen above that. So it's you that needs to hear my voice, not him. Two men of God, different instructions. The man of God just prayed, hallelujah, mangaraba, pandediam. But you, the only time you hear God clearly is when God wants to tell you don't eat. I'll come back and hopefully tie this together. This is not a standard message of Melchizedek. I'm just passing by. There are some intricate details that we cannot go through today. But all of this must bring you to a place where you not only are acceptable to God, but the things that you bring to God are also acceptable. It is on the strength of this you can see somebody who has just done an abortion. And you can say, do you know God accepts you? And the moment you say it, love moves from your heart to that person. You can look at somebody who feels so low and that he or she cannot approach God. I can say, do you know God accepts you? And the person looks at you and feels that love like, wow, this is real. And it comes to that person. Why? Because you also have been built into a spiritual house. You are accepted by God and you can give acceptable sacrifices. May we come to this understanding in the name of Jesus. May we come to the place of authentic rest in the name of Jesus. May God revitalize your spiritual life. May He give you fresh grace in the name of Jesus. May He help your infirmities in the name of Jesus. May He help your infirmities in the name of Jesus. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. Most High. He